Okay. All right. It's multifold, but I'll share with you the first two is if a Jehovah Witness comes to your home, or if a Baptist comes to your home. The Jehovah's Witness has got a little procedure that they go through to show you their doctrine, that shows you what they believe and try to convince you of it. And they'll take you through their series of scriptures, and so is it that way with a Baptist leading you down the Roman road. They'll take you through the Roman process and show you how to get saved. What I have found is that though you guys have learned so much in this last year or so especially, I still don't see that you can go through the scriptures and actually open your Bible up and show people. Now, I say you all, I'm not talking everybody, but I know that some of you can. But for the most part, what this is for is to try to help you get to the place where you can witness, not as receive Jesus' witness, because that's not what the witness was about, but where you can witness to somebody about the gospel, the kingdom of God. And that's the primary thing we're after. The secondary thing that we're after is to make a tape quality, a videotape quality, so that we can utilize it for Saturday's television program that is shown, that will preach the gospel of the kingdom. What we're running into right now is that what I'm basically preaching on Sunday is very seeker-sensitive or seeker-oriented, and it's really not preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. It's interesting and it's fun and all this stuff, but it's not what we're here to do. We're here to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And what we want to do is make a series of videos so that we can give them to people as they come and join our church and join our fellowship. They'll have the equipment they'll need to understand what we're about and what we believe and how it's taught. And then also we'll have something that we can put into this area that will preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom of God, which has never been done the way that I want to do it. Right now, as we talked a little bit about Sunday, we're on television twice down in Somerville, and he's about to expand over into Mentone, into Alabama. And we'll go all the way up to Lookout Mountain, East Ridge area. So, and lady called me from Dalton and gave me a price to get on over there. So, you know, we're really wanting to do it in this region. And that's our mission. And God's given us a vehicle to do it with. And so this is what we're after. And so I got you so that the shots will have you in there a little bit. And, you know, and like Shirley says, why you want us up there? You don't ever show us. So, but I'll work on that. Okay, John? Where did John go? You got that, John? Yeah. You
get shot.
Okay. Okay. So that's what we're about. And if we're going to try it this week, and you know, and if there's any bugs in it, we'll try to fix the bugs and go again next time with it. But if it doesn't work, we'll stop doing this and we'll go back to what we know does work, and that's our teaching. I promise you, you're going to enjoy it. I promise you, it's going to be fun. It'll be some of the stuff you've already heard, but I'm sure that I'll come up with something that you haven't heard before. Okay, so that's what this is about. I'd like to pray now and ask the Lord to really help us. And our primary mission here is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to this region. So we want to pray that, and we want the Lord to help us and do this with a quality that we really want to have and we'll all be proud of. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you that they've given of their time, their afternoon, Lord, to come and to hear what you have to say. And Lord, to help preach the gospel of the kingdom of God to this region. Now I ask you, Jesus, to anoint us. I ask you, Lord God, to anoint me that I'll be able to hear the Spirit and produce and say these things through my mouth as you want them said. And Lord, I pray too that we'll have ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Lord, again, the sower goes forth to sow the seed. Lord, that's what I can do. I can sow it. And then, Lord, I trust you to have prepared the soil to receive it. And Lord, as these videos are played and as they are shown throughout, Lord, I ask you to help the people to receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Kevin, put the center camera on me. Give me to the count of five. Okay. We're glad you're with us on Finding Life at LifeGate Church. We're having you come into our Wednesday night setting and have some teaching. What we're going to be talking about today is the time of the kingdom of God. Now, why would that be interesting? Why would we even want to study that? Well, there's two theories, or there's two thoughts. There's one truth and a theory. What we want to look at is the truth. There is the teaching that the time of the kingdom is a futuristic event, that we've got to wait for a time for the kingdom to come. We want to see what the scriptures say. We want you to get your Bible out. We want you to get your notepads out. We want you to join in with us in this study. And I promise you, you will enjoy it. God bless. I want you to look on your notes to the first page. And I have here for you four pages of notes concerning the time of the kingdom of God. The first scripture that I want us to look at and to see is from Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. And it says there, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." What was he preaching?
The gospel of the kingdom.
The gospel of the kingdom. "And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." That's Matthew 4:23. Also in Mark 1:14. "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Again, what was he preaching?
The gospel of
the kingdom of God. "And saying," here's what the message said, "and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. What did he preach? What was he saying as he preached it?
The time is fulfilled.
Now, this is what I'm after. He says the time is fulfilled. But yet the teaching of basic dispensationalism is that it's not yet fulfilled, that it's not yet time, and there's some futuristic time when it will be fulfilled. And so we want to look and we want to see the truth. What does the Bible say? How does the Bible preach it and teach it? So I have you a couple of questions here that I'd like for you to answer. Number one, according to the scriptures, what gospel did Jesus Christ preach?
The
gospel of the kingdom. What gospel should we then preach?
Gospel of the kingdom.
Are there more than one gospel?
Yes.
Yes, there are. Paul told the church, he says, if an angel of God comes to you preaching another gospel than the gospel you've heard of me, let him be accursed. The gospel that Jesus preached was the gospel of the kingdom of God. And what he said while he preached it is the time is fulfilled. It's time for the kingdom of God. It's at hand. We want to look at that. The second question, what was Jesus Christ saying as he preached the gospel? Time is fulfilled. The kingdom is at hand. Now, what would that kingdom at hand mean? Now, I don't want you to answer me right now. You know, that's sort of a one that we're not settled in, how we answer that. But you will be, I think, by the time we're done today. Now, what I want to look at is basically from the book of Daniel today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Daniel chapter 2. You'll see it. Or you can just follow us along in the notes. But at either rate, you need to know where this is, so that when you share this with people, you share this with your family or whatever, that you'll be able to show them these things. Jesus says the time is fulfilled. Where did he get his figures for the time? Where did he come up with dates that it was time? Is there any place in the scriptures that tell us that we can know the time of the kingdom? Now, before you answer, if you go to someone and you tell them that you know the time the kingdom came, that's all, oh no, because Matthew chapter 24 says, no man knows the day or the hour. But what we should know is that that's not what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. What he says no man knows the day or the hour was about was the destruction of Jerusalem, which the whole chapter in context is clear to see. He's not talking about the coming of the kingdom. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24. Where did he get his times? He says it's at hand. Is 2,000 years, would Jesus consider at hand 2,000 years? Doesn't sound right to me. Doesn't sound right to me. Well, what does the at hand then mean? Where did he get his times? Where did he get his? Was he confused? Maybe he missed it. Maybe he didn't know the day or the hour. Do you think that could be it? No, he says it's fulfilled. He got it from someplace. And if he can get it from the scriptures, then we can get it from the scriptures. So, Daniel chapter 2. Now, what's happening here in Daniel chapter 2 is Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar is the king of the Chaldean kingdom in Babylon. And he's had a dream. And Daniel interprets this dream. I want to talk about the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. On page 1, on the right column, the first thing I give you there are the scriptures for the dream, which is found in Daniel chapter 2, verses 31 through 35. That's the dream. Then also I give you the interpretation that is given by Daniel in chapter 2, verses 36 through 45. Now let me explain the dream to you. Nebuchadnezzar was on his bed and he had a dream. He saw this image, he says, was terrible. The head of this image was gold. Its arms and its shoulders and its chest were silver. Its belly and its loins were bronze. And its legs and its feet were iron. And as the legs went onto their feet, they became miry clay. They were iron mingled with clay, and then finally miry clay. And Nebuchadnezzar did not understand the dream. And so he finally got Daniel to interpret it. Daniel interpreted the dream, and it was basically like this. The head was the Chaldean kingdom, and I have all these figures for you on page 2. The left column, point A, the first kingdom that he saw. Daniel says, you saw King Nebuchadnezzar, you saw four kingdoms, you saw four empires. The first empire, the first kingdom was you. You are the head. You're the head of gold. God has put everything under your authority. The second kingdom is going to be an inferior kingdom. It's of silver. And there's going to be a third kingdom. And the second kingdom, as I have it here for you, where it was the Medes and Persians empire that overcame the Babylonian or the Chaldean empire in 539 B.C. The third kingdom that came along was the Greek or Macedonia kingdom. It overtook the Persian kingdom in 334 B.C. And then there was the fourth kingdom, which was the Roman kingdom. Now, why is that important? Why do we even need to know that? What's important about this? It's because within this time, within this frame, Daniel gives us the time of the kingdom, when the kingdom of God would come. Now, here's what I want us to see. Back on page 1, I want to begin reading, or you can look in your Bible, which would even be better, at verse 44 of Daniel chapter 2. It says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now, this is in the days of the fourth kingdom. This is in the days of the kingdom that is of iron, and iron mingled with clay, and then miry clay. It's in the days of that fourth kingdom that the kingdom of God would be established. God would set up, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to thee, king, what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. How is the interpretation? Sure. The dream is certain. Interpretation is sure. Daniel says you can put it in the bank. It's going to happen. Did it happen? History has proven that it happened. Now, in the days of that fourth kingdom, he says, the kingdom would come. God would establish his kingdom. What was the fourth kingdom? Who was that fourth kingdom? Roman Empire. When did the Roman Empire begin? I have you the figure there. I have you the year. It was 63 B.C. 63 B.C., the Roman Empire came into its power, and it ruled till 410 A.D. It would be in this time span from 63 B.C. to 410 A.D. that the kingdom of God would come. So out of all this thing, we find that the kingdom of God was to come, according to Daniel, in this time span. You see it? Now, history has proven it. Now, the kingdoms were consecutive. In other words, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar was immediately followed by the second kingdom. The second kingdom was immediately followed by the third kingdom. The third kingdom was immediately followed by Rome. What I'm trying to get you to see is there was no time lapse. There was no parenthesis in here. There was no skipping of time. One kingdom led to another kingdom, to another kingdom, to another kingdom, and finally the time for the kingdom of God came without any kind of parenthesis or without any kind of extra time put in here. Then in Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. I want to read that paragraph under Daniel 2:44, the verse there by itself. The God of heaven would set up a kingdom in the days of the Roman Empire. Once the kingdom began, it would stand forever. How long would it stand?
Forever.
Now, where do you see that? Do you see that in the Scriptures? These kingdoms, in verse 44, says, shall stand forever. This kingdom, and it shall stand forever, is what the verse says. Once the kingdom began, it would stand forever. There would never again be a time when this kingdom was not. It would never be destroyed. It would never allow another kingdom to rule. It would never be left to other people, such as the Antichrist. Now, see, the dispensational teaching says that there's got to be an Antichrist that's going to invade for 7 years. We've got to have a 7-year Antichrist with this teaching. According to this passage, according to this section of Scripture, there is no time span in there. It comes right after another kingdom, and it will never be given to another people. It began, and it goes on for how long?
Forever.
It's everlasting. It would never allow another kingdom to rule. It would never be left to another people. It would stand forever. Daniel said in 2:44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. In the days of what kings?
The Roman Empire.
As this image went down to the feet, it had 10 toes, of course. The 10 provinces of the Roman Empire were divided into 10 kingships. Herod was a king. He was one of the provinces, province of Judah. And there was 10 different provinces in the Roman Empire. Had they had 89 different kings, 89 different Roman emperors. It was in the days of these kings that God began the kingdom of God. Verse 44, again, in the days of these kingdoms shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand, talk to me,
forever.
Forever. The kingdom began. Did the kingdom begin in the days of those kingdoms?
Yes.
In the days of those kings, the Roman Empire. And when will it stop?
Never.
How long does it go?
Forever.
Now, do you realize what you're saying? If that is true, if what you have just said is true, if the kingdom of God began in the years of the Roman Empire and it went on forever, does that mean that it's coming?
No.
Or does that mean that it's here?
Here.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Question. According to Daniel, in what days would God set up a kingdom? Now, give me here the biblical answer. What does the Bible say? In what days? The days of these kings. The days of which kings? The fourth kings. The fourth empire. All right. Now then, on the top of the right column, specifically what world empire was functioning in those days, and what was the years of its existence? Roman Empire. 63 to 410 AD. Now, it was coming in that time. God said so. God said so. Now, the beginning element of this kingdom, and another way Daniel says you'll know that you've got the right time frame, you know you've got the right kingdom, the right kings, the right set of, as there's a stone that's going to be cut out of the mountain without hands. Nebuchadnezzar, in this dream, he saw a stone cut out of the mountains without hands. Now, this stone is not a rock. It wasn't a rock like you would take and throw at somebody. That's not what we're talking about here. Well, stone, as you study the stone that we're talking about here in Scriptures, is a huge foundation stone, a corner stone. It's a huge foundation stone. In the book of Kings, it talks about the building of the Temple of Solomon. And these stones were 10 cubits by 10 cubits, or 15 feet by 15 feet. They were cut out of the rock quarry and by ingenious means moved to Mount Moriah. 12 or 13 of them were set, and then the temple of God was built on top of those foundation stones. If you want to go to the book of Revelation in chapter 22, you find that there's a city, and under this city there are 12 foundations with the names of the apostles on them, and you are the church which is built or established upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. So we have all these things tied together. But Jesus Christ is the stone. There was a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands. Now he says, you know you got the right kingdom when this stone comes out of the mountain. That's cut out without hands. Without hands would be without human facilities. Without hands, without human help. Who was the father of Jesus Christ? But did he have human help here in the fathering of him? He was the Holy Ghost, right? That's what I want you to see. What about his doctrine? Was it of human beings? No. See, it was cut out without hands. There was nothing in Christ. He was God and man. But what I want you to see is when he come out of the mountain, when he was cut out of the religious systems, the mountains of the earth, when he was cut out of that, he was totally different. Now, as I wrote this for you, I wanted you to see that I have 10 or 11 passages here that show you who the stone is. You know who the stone is, right? Who is the stone? Jesus Christ. But do you have scriptural proof of who the stone is? Well, you do now. Here are 11 passages of scripture that I've given to you that shows you what the stone is and who the stone is. The stone is speaking of the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, which is the foundation stone. He is rejected by the builders. Did the builders of the temple or the builders of the law of Moses reject him? Yes. Now, imagine if you were taking one of these huge stones in the natural, if you were taking one of these huge stones out of the building quarry, and you were trying to get it up to Mount Moriah to establish, and that thing fell on someone. What would happen to it? And Jesus told the Pharisees in Matthew 21, he says, if you fall on the stone, that's one thing. He says, but if the stone falls on you. And this is what we're talking about here. He is the stone. He is the stone. Now, I only want to read one of these passages. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given unto men, given among men, whereby you must be saved. Who is the stone?
Jesus
Christ. The scriptures clearly prove it. He is the chief cornerstone. Now, when that stone come out, it was time for the kingdom. It was time for the kingdom. Was Jesus born in the time of the Roman Empire?
Yes,
he was. Give me the year he was born. Well, just to make it real simple, let's just go with zero. Okay, very good. Now, he was in the time, though, of the Roman Empire. He was in the time of these kings. The stone was cut out. Page 3. Looking at that paragraph just before Daniel 2:44, let's read that. No one will argue the point that the kingdom began then, or at least that Jesus came then. What they do not realize they are saying is that if the kingdom then began, we are now today in the time of the kingdom. Do we await the kingdom to begin? That is not what the scriptures teach. Because Daniel said, in the days of these kings shall the kingdom of heaven, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. What are we doing now, scripturally? According to what Daniel has taught us, are we awaiting a kingdom to come, or are we in the time of the kingdom? According to the scriptures, not according to man's philosophy. I haven't quoted you anybody's teachings or read you anybody's notes except mine. According to what the scriptures teach us, we are in the time of the kingdom. And what we're doing is we're missing it. We're being deceived by the devil so that we won't enjoy the fruits of the kingdom of God. He's got us so convinced that we're going to escape some tribulation that's already happened. He's got us so convinced that this is going to happen. He's got us so deceived, we're missing the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. It is time for the kingdom. It is at hand. All right. Question. Daniel said the kingdom would be set up in the days of those kings. When would the kingdom end or experience a parenthesis? This kingdom never ends. Never. Now, it's going to change. We'll see in just a little while. It's going to change its faculty somewhat, but it's not going to end. Now, read that next paragraph after the question with me. From Daniel, we learn that the kingdom of God began during the days of the Roman Empire. That empire existed in 63 B.C. through 410 A.D. Christ the stone was cut out of the mountain during the days of these kings. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost at the water baptism, becoming the chief cornerstone. And if the Bible is true, we are today living in the age of the kingdom of God. What a thought. But if the devil has deceived us, what a deception. Now, number two, I want to talk about another thing that happened to Daniel. It's the vision of the ascension. Now, we were in chapter 2 then. If you want to find this one, it's in chapter 7. So just turn over a few pages, if you have to, and then you'll run into Daniel chapter 7. And let me show you where this is. Daniel, again, has another vision. I'm not going to go through all these beasts because they're pretty much irrelevant to what we're talking here today about. I'm not going to exegete that. We just want to find out the time of the kingdom. Now, we find the time of the kingdom in Daniel chapter 7 also. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. Daniel says here, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Now, let's stop and digest that just a second. What is Daniel seeing here? Son of Man coming in clouds. What do we call that?
Ascension.
The ascension of Christ. Now, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 makes it very, very specific that he went up on the cloud. It makes sure that it writes that in there. And it talks about him ascending on the cloud. So what Daniel is here seeing is Christ's ascension on the cloud. He says, I saw one like the Son of Man, and he came in the clouds of heaven. And came to the Ancient of Days. Now, who would the Ancient of Days be? God the Father. So when he arrived, he was taken before the throne, before the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion. Now, Jesus said at the ascension in Matthew chapter 28, he says, all power or all authority has been given unto me. Now, was he given dominion? And right here in Daniel, what Daniel saw, he says, and he was given all dominion. Is this right? It gave him dominion and glory. Does Jesus Christ have all the glory? Would anybody argue that he is not the glory of glory? Jesus Christ has given dominion. Jesus Christ has given glory. But look out what else he was given. That he was given dominion and glory and a
kingdom.
And of course, that kingdom, it says here in Daniel, that kingdom that will come one day. When was he given this kingdom?
When he ascended.
Right then, when he ascended. Now, when did Daniel chapter 2, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, say that the kingdom would be established? In the days of these kings, which was the days of the Roman Empire, which was 63 through 410 A.D., right? Exactly. And he came and his stone was cut out. Jesus Christ was born and he became anointed of God and he was separated and he was rejected of the builders. And now we find more specific. We have this large time span, but now we're narrowing it down here to about 33 B.C. In 33 B.C., this ascension happened. And in 33 B.C., the Bible tells me that Jesus received his kingdom. Did I say 8 B.C.? 33 A.D., the Bible received his kingdom. Here we go. In 33 A.D., Christ received his kingdom. Reading on. He received dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion and shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Is there any intrusion here of the Antichrist? Do you see any insinuation here that there would ever be a time where he would not rule?
No.
When did it begin?
30.
Very good. 33, or at the ascension. When did it end? Very good. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. Now, question, according to the scriptures, when did Jesus, the Son of Man, receive his kingdom? At the ascension. Now, what Bible verse have you got for that? Sure. If you wanted to show somebody that in the scriptures, where would you turn? Daniel 7, 13 and 14. Very good. And that's what I want you to say. I want you to know this stuff. I want you to be able to say, look, here's when the kingdom began. We are in the time of the kingdom. Show me. Lay the Bible in their laps and say, now you show me when it's not. From the time of Jesus' ascension till now, where did it go? Who took it out? What happened to it? He says it'll last forever. Another question. When will this kingdom experience an end or a parenthesis? It won't. All right, so we see here now that we've come to the time of the kingdom. Jesus ascended in 33 A.D. He received his kingdom. And now, if you go to the book of Revelation in chapter 5, don't go there, just make yourself a note. I think I might even have it here for you. But in the book of Revelation in the 5th chapter, it talks about the Lamb coming before the throne, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation. And John says, he says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the elder came and says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is worthy to open the books. John turned and he saw a lamb that was slain, right, from the foundation. Now, what did this lamb receive? He received the Biblion, the book. And that was his kingdom. And he took authority right then. That's Revelation chapter 5. And you can look at the Revelation notes and see that. So has he received his kingdom? Yes, he has. So another question, according to the scriptures, when did the kingdom begin? Give me all you've learned. When did the kingdom begin, according to Daniel chapter 2? Days of these kings? Go ahead. Ascension. Stone cut out of the mountain, which was what? Jesus Christ being anointed and separated, rejected. Sure. That's the time the kingdom began. That's what the Bible teaches. Third thing I want to talk about is the teaching of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ say about the coming of the kingdom? Did he tell us when the time would be? Well, I think so. Mark 1:14. We've already read it, but let's do it again. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Did he say it was time? The time is? And fulfilled. The kingdom's at hand. The time is fulfilled. Now, where did he get his figures from? Where did he get these dates from? How did he know the time was fulfilled? Does the Bible teach us? Does the Bible tell us? Yeah, it's in the days of the Roman Empire. Yes, we know that. It's when the stones cut out of the mountain. Yeah, we know that. And he says it is at hand. At hand. He knew that it was at hand. He was about to ascend to the Father to receive it. It was at hand. This was only a few years away. It was at hand. 2,000 years, folks, is not at hand. 2,000 years is not shortly. I don't care how many times you read it. 7 times in the book of Revelation, I'm come shortly, I come quickly. But I'm telling you, 2,000 years is not shortly and it's not quickly. It was at hand. Jesus says that he came and he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. In Mark 1:15, let's read that from the NIV Bible. Maybe another version changes it up on us. The time has come. What time?
Time for the kingdom.
The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And then from the Living Bible, look at this. At last the time has come. God's kingdom is near. Turn from your sins and act on this glorious news. So to me, obviously, Jesus knew that it was time for the kingdom. Obviously, he thought he was the king. Maybe he was confused. Well, maybe. Jesus tells his disciples a very interesting truth. That until you see this and until this gets a root in you, you have no concept of what these scriptures mean. But they're very, very interesting and they're very, very important to understand the time of the kingdom. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and actually it's in Matthew 16, one of them. You remember in Matthew 16, he says, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And just a little while later, what happens? Oh, no, you're not going to die like that, Lord. Get behind me. Satan, right after that, just right after that, he begins to tell them the qualifications of a disciple, taking up your cross and following in all these things. And then he says this. Matthew 16, 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, dispensationalist theology has to skip over this. Because either these guys are still alive or Jesus had just missed it. Or either the kingdom has come. Look at another verse. Matthew 16, 28. Well, let's read the same verse from the Living Bible. And some of you standing here right now will certainly live to see the coming of my kingdom. How did that happen? How did that happen? So we've got three options here. Jesus was incorrect about the time. Some of the disciples are still alive today. Or the kingdom came. There you go. Some of you standing here are going to be alive when I arise and I receive my kingdom. And they were they not?
Yep.
Makes sense to me. That's what the Bible teaches. Question is, what did Jesus tell his disciples concerning the coming of the kingdom of God and their deaths? Now, the primary problem here, let me do this real fast, and then I can do it in 2-3 minutes. But I want you to look in your Bible at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I have the notes for you here, but I want you to see it in your Bible. I want you to read it out of your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is extremely important. See, the problem is this. This is the problem. We have been taught and told that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of bliss. It's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of just these wonderful things, of heaven. It's just this wonderful thing. I'm telling you, that's not the kingdom that I'm telling you that came. The kingdom is not this heavenly thing where streets of gold and walls of jasper and all this is experienced. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of war. If I can show you this real quickly. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15. I want to read this out of the NIV Bible. And if you have another one, that's okay, but I'll just read it to you. What Paul is doing here is giving him the order of the resurrection. And he says here, in the order of the resurrection, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Now, the order of the resurrection is first Jesus Christ. Was he the first risen from the dead? Yeah, sure. Jesus Christ first, then who else? Those who belong to him when? At his coming. He's talking here about the resurrection. What is the biblical day for the resurrection? The last day. The last day, John chapter 6. And I've got you all these verses here in case you need that. But the last day, Jesus says, I'll raise you the last day. I'll raise you the last day. I'll raise him up the last day. It's the last day. Then he says this. Then the end will come. When will the end come? At the resurrection. Is there 7 years in here? Do you see 7 years in here? Is there a parenthesis in here? Does your Bible show a parenthesis after the tribulation? When does the end come? After the resurrection, after he comes and gets those that are his. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about as well. Then the end shall come when he hands over the kingdom of God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. Now, get this. You look at this and listen to me talk. Look at your verse and get this. Here's what happens. The kingdom of God is in effect right now. If you wait until he comes again, you've waited too long because he's handing it back to his Father. What's happening right here is he's reigning in his kingdom. He's ruling in his kingdom right now, right today, right now. He's ruling it. And if we wait until he comes again, if we wait until the end of time, if we wait until the time of the end at the resurrection, what happens then is he gives it back to the Father and submits himself back to him for his next job to do. Let's read that again. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father after he has destroyed all dominion and authority and power. What's he doing right now? He's destroying. Oh, he's getting us streets of gold to walk on. He's building us a mansion. What's he doing right now? He's destroying. I'm about to stand up. He's destroying. What's he doing? He's destroying all dominion and authority and power that tries to come up against him. For he must reign. He must do what?
Reign.
Oh, he can't do that yet because he hasn't received his kingdom yet. He must reign how long?
Until.
Until what? Until he has put all his enemy under his feet. Now listen. If I'm reading this right, we're in the time of the kingdom of God. If I'm reading this right, we're missing the kingdom of God. We're not but so much, but we're having to defend it so much that we're missing it because we're having to defend it. We need to be enjoying the kingdom. We need to be helping him put all this stuff under his feet rather than arguing with the dispensation as to whether it's here or not.
Amen.
And we need to understand that it is a time of war. It's not a time of peace. And what they try to tell us is that they've got all this bliss. Oh, the devil's just, he's bound up. He's got to be bound up for 1,000 years for the kingdom to come. That's what we're here to do. We're here to bind him. Whatsoever things you bind on earth are bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose on earth are, come on. What are we here to do? We're an army. Put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. Come on. What are we here to do? Fly away? No, we're here to war. Hallelujah. And how long is he going to reign? And he is reigning. And what happens when he comes again? What happens when he comes at the resurrection? He hands it back to the Father. What else do you want me to do? Verse 28. When he has... Well, what is the last enemy? Let me show you what... Let me tell you when Jesus is going to come again. Let me tell you when this is going to happen. When the last enemy is defeated. And what is the last enemy? According to the Bible, it is death. When we start raising people from the dead, and we won't let them die, it is time for Jesus to come. Lift up your eyes, your redemption draws nigh. That is the last enemy, and he won't come until that one's put under his feet. Well, hallelujah! Forget that any minute stuff. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen until the last enemy is made subject to him. Yeah, stuck it in there. Verse 28, when he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him. He submits himself back to the Father. Say, okay, here's the next course. What's the next thing for the kingdom of God? Question, what erroneous concept are we given about the kingdom of God? Did Jesus say, don't think I come to send peace. I come to send
a sword.
I come to bring variance. And I'll put variance between you and your wife, your husband. I'll put variance between you and your children. I'll put variance. What false concept have we been told about the kingdom of God? It's a kingdom of bliss. It's not a kingdom of bliss, folks. It's a kingdom of war. Our God is a mighty warrior. His name is Jesus Christ. You read about him in Revelation 19. You read about him. You don't find this nice little guy there patting you on the head. Buddy, his name is war. He is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to end with this thought. If we wait for Jesus to come again, to return, to experience the kingdom, we'll miss the kingdom which we are awaiting. The time of the kingdom began, the time of those kings, the Roman Empire. When the stone was cut out, Jesus Christ, when he ascended, he received it. He now sits at the right hand of the Father. Stephen said so. I see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father. He sits there now and he reigns and he's going to reign until everything is put under his feet. And the last enemy is death. Don't wait. Don't miss the kingdom of God. Glad you're with us. Hope you enjoyed the lesson. We want to talk next time about who was the tribulation for. Come join us. God bless you. Remember, God came to give you abundant life. God bless.